Thank you so much. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2. This new year, we have a lot of challenges. I wanted to encourage you. There are some Bible reading schedules out there up on a bookshelf to the right of the big chiffero out there in the thing. If you want to use this as a guide, it'll give you a challenge to read your Bible, mark it off day by day, and you'll go through the whole thing in a year. It's divided up into three sections, morning, afternoon, and evening, if you choose to do it that way. But the sections are Old Testament, then the poetry, which is the Psalms, Proverbs, and a couple other books in the middle, and then the New Testament in the third part. You can divide the thing up. It's perforated and put it in as a bookmark. Mark it off as you will. I've been doing that for years, and it helps me to keep on track to read through the Scriptures. So I want to give that information to you. This morning I want us to continue at this story. I didn't want to miss the importance of this chapter 2. For sometimes people get it confused. There's cards that we see people give out, often have the wise men and the shepherds together at the manger. And yet as we'll read this morning, we'll find out that couldn't be the case because they came later to a different place. But we don't want to forget what they did, because they are an important part of the story too. Though they were not there at the immediate occasion of his birth, they still came for the same reason. They came to worship him. And that's what we all ought to be doing, isn't it? We ought to be worshiping him. Chapter 2, it begins this: Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, Go, and searched diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he was saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose, he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He returned aside unto the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. It might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. I notice in our reading here how often the scriptures refer to that it might be fulfilled. God always keeps his word. Just as we have thought about and we've sung about the fact, God does what God says he will do. A lot of people ask, well, why doesn't God do this, that, or the other? Or why does he allow this to happen and that to happen? And you see, that's the wrong question. The question is, what has he said he will do? And then we can see him work in marvelous ways. Here, we saw that Jesus was born exactly where he was prophesied to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, because that was the prophecy God had given many years before. We saw before that God used Caesar Augustus to proclaim that all the world should be taxed, and everybody had to go back to their home city where their ancestry was to sign up for the taxing and all of that. And God uses things that are not normally considered pious or religious. God makes all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, most of us would prefer not to have another tax added, but Caesar didn't know he was being used of God, but God knew it. God rules in this world. In fact, the scripture says in another place, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will, as the rivers of water. I don't know if I quoted that perfectly, but the idea, God is in control of these things. We look around, we listen to the news and all the stuff going on with the new year coming and the new administration that's been talked about, and people speculate a whole lot. God knows what's happening. Our trust is not in presidents or in Congress, it's in God. And in these days, Jesus was born in a time of oppression of the nation of Israel. Rome ruled the world. Herod was given the appointment to rule over the area where Jesus was born, in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And he was known as, in some ways, as a good fella, for he built a lot of things. In a time of severe famine, he even took some of his wealth and melted it down that the people might be fed. But he was also known as a very cruel ruler. And most of all, he was known, he was so jealous, so afraid someone would take his place. He had several of his children killed because he was afraid they were going to usurp his throne. And even in the last portion of our reading here this morning, we saw as he zealously tried to destroy Christ, who was called King of the Jews, for he thought he was king of the Jews. You know, Rome had given him that authority and Rome had given him that position. But see, true advancement doesn't come from Rome or Washington. It comes from God. And God knew what was going on. And we see the opposition of this man whom had been given much ability and authority from the natural world opposing God. And he lost. You know, that's an example to us, all of us, whether we be in high places or a more humble position, you can't beat God. I'm so amazed at how many people try. If you just look around and see how God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, you'd think, it must be God. I've told the anecdote before of Moody, the great evangelist that we hear about so often, had great success in years gone past, and a reporter came and wanted to investigate, what's the secret of your success? And he sat in the meeting night after night, and he heard this man who had very little education, didn't speak very well. They say Moody was the only man in the world that could say Mesopotamia in two syllables. He was criticized by somebody for murdering the Queen's English. And he said, yeah, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. What are you doing? And I thought it was pretty good. But Moody was not wise according to the world. He didn't have a lot of slick promotion so much. He had a singer named Ira Sankey who played an organ, a little portable pump organ. I'm not an accordion, but a pump organ. And he sang songs. And God used him in a great way because the Holy Spirit of God was working. But at the end of the week, the reporter answered. He said, I've watched, I've seen, I've listened. He said, it must be God. Can't explain it any other way. And that's the miracle of God's working in the affairs of men. God does things differently than we would. Well, who would think that a king should be born and laid at a manger at his birth and then put in a place where he could be found by people that would try to destroy him? And how in the world is a simple man and woman with a baby going to escape the wrath of a great king like Herod who has all the armies at his disposal? God works. And then we see the question that I always love this, for it challenges my heart and challenges, I hope, you. When these wise men came from the east, they asked a question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They saw something and they responded. Well, don't you think other people saw it as well? I personally believe the star they saw in the east was the glory of the Lord that shone round about when the angels proclaimed the birth of the Savior. Now, I can't prove that. Maybe I'm wrong. But whatever it was known to anybody who was looking up. But only a few took that and followed it to come and worship him. A lot of people were given the opportunity, and yet they didn't respond. We think about the gospel going out into the world. It's being preached in many ways today through places like this and local churches, through the television in some places, and through radio and tracts and the internet today. The gospel's going out in many ways, and yet it seems there's not as much response, at least in our area. I've heard there's a great response in some other parts of the world. But the problem is not that it's not going out. It's that people have hard hearts and they don't want to respond. And even worse than that, they see in a star in the east, maybe they didn't understand what it was. I believe the wise men knew about it because of Daniel. These wise men from the east, I believe, were from the area where Daniel had served in his time under Babylon. He'd been dead a long time. But he had instilled some information and taught those wise men that they passed down through the ages some things, some promises that God had given. And you can go back and read in Daniel's book the prophecy of the Messiah coming. For however they learned, they saw it and they responded. And they came to the place they thought would have the answer of the exact position of the Savior's birth. And you say, well, why didn't they just follow the star all the way? Well, evidently, the star they saw in the east didn't continue all the way. Although our song says they followed the star, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, we read just a moment ago that after they'd inquired and after they'd got the answer from the king and the scribes and the priests, then the star appeared again. And they were excited to see it. So then they followed to right above where the Savior was in the house. But God had led them part of the way, and they'd come to the... See, God had a purpose. He wanted them to go and inquire in Jerusalem. He wanted them to present it. You know, God wants everybody to have salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God works in many ways to present the opportunity, even though so often people reject it. God, in his knowledge, knew that Herod would reject it. He knew all the other responses, but still he gave them the information. And we are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not because every person will respond, but because God said to go. We follow him by faith and obey. They saw the promise of the king. They believed what they had been taught, and they took action, and they followed him all the way. And so when Herod heard this, verse 3, it said, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. You may wonder, why would it say that? According to the reading that I've done, it tells us, again, as I mentioned before, Herod was such a jealous fellow that when the people heard these wise men from the east looking for the king of the Jews, Herod would be jealous of that. And of course he was. We saw that later in the reading. But all Jerusalem knew Herod's temperament. They knew what was going on. It troubled them that these wise men came. And personally, I believe there was more than three or four. I think there were several of them. I think there wouldn't one or two or three wouldn't bothered everybody. But it doesn't anywhere say there were three wise men. It says there were three gifts named. But, you know, sometimes we add tradition and stories to what the Bible says, and sometimes we can get a wrong idea. It just said the wise men came. Another thing from history we learn is the wise men that were coming were known in that area in that time of history as the kingmakers. They're the ones who would lift up people to the attention and predict things that were coming politically. And maybe they were afraid there was another coup coming or something. Whatever, they were troubled. They were worried. What's this mean? How's it going to come out? They didn't know. But then Herod, he gathered the chief priests and scribes, the people together, and he asked them where Christ should be born. Isn't that interesting? Herod knew where to go. He knew who should have the answer. You see, they had people who had made it their life's work to be about the things of God. The priests that were involved in the worship of the temple and sacrifices unto God by God's chosen people, Israel. The scribes who were employed by copying out the words of God and passing it on generation after generation. There's no indication that these were unfaithful in their duties, but they knew the answer, and yet they didn't go to see the Savior. You know, sometimes people who have the most information have the least zeal. Isn't that a shame? People who knew the answer when asked, well, yeah, he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. This is it, it quoted the verse. But they didn't get up and go. Oh boy, that convicts my heart as I think of so many people who sit in churches week by week, year by year, who know so much of the Bible, and yet they have very little zeal in putting it into practice in their everyday life. Going out and telling other people about salvation. Going out and living for Christ in opposition to the ways of this old world. Making a difference by coming out from among them, being separate. By not going along with all the worldly traditions. Well, I think about last night. So many people went and partied because it was the end of the year and a new year coming. Now, why would they do that? Because of tradition of men. And they think they're having a great time. Well, I hope they're okay. Too many of them die, don't they? I haven't heard the news today, but I'm sure there were some who were in wrecks because they were drinking and driving and all that, all that foolishness. Why use a certain occasion of the year as an excuse to destroy your life? The Bible says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't look on it when it moves in the cup. Don't be involved in that stuff. Or any other worldly way of entertainment. Set aside your life in obedience to God. They knew a lot. They didn't do much. And Herod, when he was told where he would be born, he didn't go either. You know, he said, go seek diligently the young child. When you found him, come tell me. I'm going to come worship him. He should have got up and gone with him if he was sincere. But he wasn't sincere. He thought, like many politicians and important people, bosses or whoever, that have authority over others, that he would use them for his ends, in spite of what they wanted. He thought he could twist their zeal into something that would profit him and make his success go further. Oh, you know, God knows the difference. And God protected these faithful servants, the wise men, from Herod by warning them about what was going on. He told them what they could not know otherwise. They were strangers. They only knew Herod a little bit. They'd come and they heard his word. They saw his request. Normally you'd think, well, they would honor that because he had brought them in. He'd answered their inquiries. He'd got the people who know to give the answer. He seemed to be cooperating with the thing. And yet God prevented them from being taken in by the deceit of this wicked man. So they came. I mentioned already how they saw the star in the east again and they rejoiced. and came and stood over where the young child was. And then when they came into the house with Mary, the mother, they fell down and worshiped him. Didn't worship them. Didn't worship her. They worshiped him. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only Savior. And we need to emphasize that. Though Mary is highly favored among women, and she's blessed because God used her, and what a high place of honor that is, consider the fact that we are called sons of God by faith. Daughters of God by faith when we trust Christ. And he said that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him in this world. That's an honor, Christian. It's an honor to be used of God. It's an honor to be entrusted with the most precious truths of all. You know, it would be wonderful if someone would find a cure for all the ills that afflict us physically. We think of cancer, we think of all these other diseases, breathing problems some of our folks have, and other getting older and rheumatoid arthritis, all these awful things that come upon us mostly by age. Well, if somebody found the cure and they kept it to themselves, what would we think? Well, they're selfish. Why aren't they sharing it with the world? Well, we have the greatest news ever given. God will save your soul and cleanse your heart. And forgive your sins and take you to heaven forever. Not only will you miss hell, but you get to go to heaven. What a wonderful thing. That's the greatest news there is. We ought to be excited about it. These came and they worshiped him. And you notice how they worshiped him? With gifts. They gave of the abundance that they had been entrusted with to honor him. And by giving, they provided a way for Joseph and Mary and Jesus to leave that place when God warned them and to protect them and live in a foreign country for a while until they were called back to where he put them in Nazareth. You see, when earlier we didn't read this passage this year, but you can read it in Luke. After 8 days, Jesus was taken up to the temple and dedicated to the Lord, circumcised. All the traditions of the Jewish practice were fulfilled. And Anna and Simeon saw him and blessed him and all that. But during that whole tradition, they brought the offering of the poor. You go back and read it in the Old Testament, in the books of Moses, where it describes this should be the offering for the firstborn son. But if you're too poor for that, here's the other one. The two turtle doves or two pigeons or whatever. They didn't have a lot when he was born. But now they're provided with treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These represent the outpouring of thankful hearts of these worshipers. You know, some people criticize us in churches for talking about giving of your tithes and your offerings to the Lord's work. It ought to be from a grateful heart. We have been giving something much more precious than gold. And God teaches us an example in the Old Testament, and I believe in the New as well. As much as we've been blessed, we should bring it into the house of God and share according as God has prospered us. And all of that, they gave out of a heart of gratitude. It's not a matter of law. Nobody checks up on you. Nobody writes down your name and says, now you owe so much to the church this year. Doesn't work that way. We believe God's people, out of a grateful heart, ought to support God's work by giving our tithes and our offerings. And God blesses that. And he has done that much. And I think of Joseph and Mary in that place. They had no idea these wise men were coming. You know, they had to live just like us by faith. Imagine the faith of Mary and Joseph. Mary, when confronted by the angel of the Lord, told she would bring forth a son, though she was a virgin. A miracle, never before, never since. Joseph told in a dream, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. This that's conceived in her is of God. The Holy Spirit is conceived in her. And Joseph, by faith, received her and kept her and didn't know her physically until after she brought forth her firstborn son. He followed by faith. They had gone far from their home in faith in God's leading and protection as they obeyed the law of the land to pay their taxes down in Bethlehem and stayed there. And then when God told them to go, they went to a strange place, but God had provided. The lesson I see there for us is that where God guides, God provides. It may be in a way we never imagined. God knows what we need. He also knows when we need it. So often we are so cumbered about worrying about, well, what will I eat tomorrow? What will I wear tomorrow? You remember what Jesus said? Don't think very thought about that. Think about those birds out there. They don't worry about it. God takes care of them. The grass, the field's beautiful. It's day here, tomorrow it's cast the oven, it's gone. But it's beautiful more than your clothes. God will provide. If you believe in Him, you'll be blessed. So God took care of them, He protected them, and He thwarted the evil plan of Herod to kill the Savior. What extents evil men will go to try and thwart the work of God they oppose. What an awful thing. And yet today in our world, we have thousands, millions have died because of man's desire to overcome God's plan. Abortion for any cause or no cause killed millions. Wars and all these things going on killed millions. And I don't know all the answers to all these political things, but I know one thing. God gives life, and life belongs to God. We ought not be taking it without God's permission, as it were. He said there are some crimes that are committed against society and they're judged before the courts and there is a death penalty offered because God said so. But oh, the strict requirement must be at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And if anybody dares to lie when they give testimony, whatever the punishment was they lied about for somebody else, that's what they get. You lie about somebody committing adultery, the punishment was death. Then they kill you. See, we don't have that on that system in our country, do we? People lie, well, you've got perjury, here's a fine. No, it's more serious than that. Well, anyway, I get astray. But all of this fulfilled the promises that God had given, even this terrible one concerning mourning for these children who were killed. You ever consider, where are those babies that are killed by Herod or the ones killed through abortion? Where are they? They're in heaven. I believe that. But, oh, the sorrow and pain as a result of the acts of others. Those other people will give answer. No, pray God. They will seek God's forgiveness before they die. For God said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Nothing too much that He can't forgive if we'll come. And then Herod died. I think from that, to remember, no matter how powerful you think you are, how much buildings you've made, how many plans you've executed and policies you've passed, you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Herod had to give answer for the deeds of his life. He'll stand at that great white throne of judgment before God. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved. And give account for our lives. Everybody's going to die. We better be ready. And of course, God provided again for Joseph and Mary and bringing them to the place that he should be in Nazareth because there was a prophecy. We don't have it recorded. As far as I know, I can't find it in the Bible, but some prophet God told to say that, and God knew it and had it written down here in Matthew's gospel. God fulfills what God promises to do. And we who obey God are blessed. One time I've preached on this sermon and I entitled it, Wise Men and Fools. The wise men worshiped Him. The fools neglected Him or opposed Him. And the convicting part is that the scribes and Pharisees in their neglect were in the same boat as Herod in his opposition. You know, it's not enough just not to fight against it like Herod did. You're also going to be required to obey him. Salvation is offered to all, provided by our Savior. In this new year, we think of all the challenges and the opportunities before us. The most important thing is, are you ready to meet God? Because you don't know how long you'll have. You don't know if you'll make it through this year. I'm amazed at how people plan and plan and plan for the future. And the Bible says, you ought not say today, tomorrow, we'll go here and do that. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll go here and do that, this, that, or the other. Because God knows. Your life is a gift. Use it wisely. Worship the Lord. Receive his blessing, and God will guide. Stand together as we have our invitation, please. We're going to sing 262 as our